The sisterhood wound is not who you are. The sisterhood wound is who you were taught to be as a survival strategy in a system that profits from women being disconnected from each other. When women are disconnected, they are staying busy proving, performing, consuming. They're not connected to each other. When they are connected to each other, they're creating, they're coming up with innovative ideas, they're healing, they're rising up together. And so sisterhood, and really making space for sisterhood in your life. It's not just personal healing, it's political. Because every time you choose to connect over comparison, every time you choose softness over self-protection, every time you choose collaboration over competition, you are dismantling the systems that taught you to do otherwise.
Welcome to Worthy of Love, the podcast for ambitious, self-aware women who desire to deeply connect to healthy love. Whether you're single or in a relationship already, this show is here to help you slow down, reconnect with your body, and to help you realize that you are capable and worthy of cultivating and maintaining healthy love, even if you have a history of toxic relationships. I am your host, Celia Antonio. I'm a certified relationship coach and a certified female sexuality coach, and I am so grateful that you are here. Now let's get into the show.
Hello, welcome back to Worthy of Love, or if it's your first time here, hi, thank you for putting this podcast on your speakers or into your headphones. I so appreciate that you're here. I am your host, Celia. I'm a certified sex, love, and relationship coach, and I mainly work with ambitious women who want to feel safe in receiving deep trauma-free love. And that love extends out into friendship. And today's episode is going to be one where we talk about female friendship. I'm going to talk about the sisterhood wound and why it can feel hard to make female friends and how you can heal that. This has been a journey that I have been on myself, and I started this journey in around 2016 or 17, somewhere around then, when I was in my first healthy dating relationship. And my partner at that time had his own vibrant social life and encouraged me to go and do the same, unlike the other people that I dated before him who didn't want me to have any friends. And that relationship made me realize, like, oh, I need friends. Why don't I have any friends? And all of these things that I'm about to share with you in this podcast episode are things that I started working on in 2016. And over the years, I've just deepened. And now I feel like I'm in a really, really, really good space. I've been in a very good space the last about 3 years when it comes to female friendships. I also just recently moved to a new city and I'm having so much fun making friends. And I honestly can say that that whole saying of like, it's hard to make friends as an adult isn't applying to me. And I think it's because of this work that I am about to share in today's episode. So we're going to be talking about the sister wound. And the sister wound is something that I don't think gets talked about enough. This is a wound that it kind of lives as this ache where you want to belong with other women. It's a deep desire to have soul-nourishing friendships, the kinds where you can show up messy, you can show up real, you can show up with your grief, you can show up with your anger, you can show up with what you want to be celebrated for, you can show up with all of the different facets that make you human, and you can be held and seen and not judged for any of it. And also, this goes the other way around, having that capacity to also be able to give that type of friendship to other people. I feel like that is something that's not usually talked about in the sister wound kind of like content I have seen online before. And I have even gone through myself. I've never really seen any of them talk about how it's not just about your own stuff and you and what you desire. It's also about you even having the capacity to give that type of friendship, because these type of deep friendships are not one-sided. And if they are one-sided because you on your end don't have the capacity to hold the other person, then you could be sabotaging yourself in your journey of friendship. So you might have been finding yourself saying things like, it's just hard to make friends as an adult, that women are judgy, that I don't fit in with other women, or maybe I'm just like a guy's gal. I definitely used to be guilty of saying that. So if any of this stuff sounds familiar, I just want you to just take a moment to take a breath. And I just want you to know that all of this is normal. You're about to see why it's normal as I dive into how patriarchy and capitalism has conditioned us to think this way, and how, because it is just a way we have been conditioned to act, we can learn new ways of acting. And there are also very specific places that we can look at from our past in order to heal. And there are very specific things we can do about this. And I just want you to know that friendship is possible for you. No matter how old you are, it doesn't mean that it's like too late, or that friendship just isn't for you, or that there's something like wrong or broken about you. So let's talk about, where does this disconnection between women, where does this come from? And I'm going to be talking about a couple of different places, and we will go deep with how the mother wound and the sister wound shapes the way that we connect or don't connect with other women. And then I'm also going to be talking about how reconnecting with your divine feminine energy is the key to healing it. By the end of today's episode, my wish for you is that you feel inspired to look within yourself, to soften in your relationship with yourself and in your relationship to divine feminine energy. And my wish for you is also that you take some brave embodied steps towards the kind of friendships that you have been wanting to have, and that you feel that empowerment to put yourself out there for those desires of deep friendship. Okay, so let's start with some truth. Female friendships are one of the deepest sources of nourishment that a woman can have, but they are also one of the deepest sources of pain for most of us. Maybe you were the girl who felt left out in middle school. Maybe you had a friend group that turned on you. Maybe you had a friend betray your trust and tell a secret of yours to the entire school. Maybe your mom was emotionally unavailable, so you never really learned what it felt like to be emotionally safe with other women. Or maybe you've always been the strong one, the caretaker, the high achiever who can't seem to find friends that see you, and you're in these friendships where you are doing all the things to show up for other people, but those people don't seem to be putting in that same type of energy for you. That was me. I definitely tried in the past. The kind of female friendships I would have would be friendships where I would basically mother people, and I would be the mother that I wish I had. And so we live in a culture that makes female friendship complicated, because patriarchy teaches us that women are competition. We are in competition for men, for attention, for power, for resources. Even with the men piece, like, we're even told as women that we need to be attracted to men, even though women of all sexual orientations exist. Capitalism also teaches us that our value comes from doing and achieving, and not from being and feeling. Capitalism and patriarchy also teaches us that our worth comes from our beauty and our body and our desire and turn on. And it also teaches us that if we won't be the one to have that beauty, desire, and turn on to keep someone around, that we will just be replaced with the next woman. Or if you're someone who is going through middle age, you might have those deep conditionings within you that you will just be replaced by a younger woman, whether it's in the workplace or maybe even having those feelings creep up in a long-term relationship is totally normal and totally common. So when you put these two things together, this conditioning that we've received from patriarchy and also from capitalism, you end up with a world where women are overworked, where women are disconnected from their bodies, and where they're constantly comparing themselves to one another. And I feel like this, in a way, has gotten worse with the advent of social media, because now we are comparing ourselves to one another, but we're comparing ourselves to each other from this perspective of like the highlight reel of social media, and also the like filters that might be on a photo or video on social media. And we're comparing ourselves to these kind of unattainable beauty ideals and these like unattainable ideas that life always has to be big and grand and perfect. And no wonder we struggle to trust each other. No wonder making friends as an adult feels hard then, if we're living in the soup of all of this. And so if we go deeper, for a lot of us, the first area where this struggle started, before we ever met our first best friend, before we ever went to school, we met our first mirror. And I say mirror because I feel like when women are in relationship with other women, we realize that other women are mirrors for us. And honestly, any relationship is a mirror for us. But I think for women specifically, being able to sit in circle and to even sit one-on-one with another woman and be in deep conversation and be deeply seen and held, and also have the capacity to deeply see and hold someone else, that's one of the most powerful mirrors that I have ever experienced. Because it really helps us embrace all of the multifacetedness that comes from being a woman. And it really helps to have that experience with other women in a way that if you are a woman who dates men or is in a long-term relationship with a man, you can share things in a way where the men in our lives might not be able to understand as deeply as another woman can, simply because another woman has had that embodied experience of what it is like to be a woman in societies that are very much conditioned by capitalism and patriarchy. And like one example of that is a woman can really understand more deeper than a man can how traumatizing it can be to simply just exist as a woman. Because when you're going through puberty, for example, and you're just walking on the street, you can be catcalled. And that's something that can create such a visceral reaction in your body. And it can create this sense as you grow up of like always being on guard, which I know a lot of women relate to this when we talk about online about, you know, taking our pepper spray with us when we go for a run, or like not going on a hike alone, or even those conversations. I think this went viral on some sort of social media platform a couple years ago, the conversations about like if you were on a hike alone, would you rather run into a man or a bear? And yeah, just this like embodied experience of existing and it being dangerous to exist simply because you're a woman is something that another woman is going to have had that embodied experience of. And I'm not saying there's not value in, of course, sharing our experiences with the men in our life, but I'm just trying to illustrate how having those deep conversations with other women are powerful mirrors, because we are speaking with someone that most likely can understand where our embodied experience is coming from. You know, so many times when I've been to women's circles, whether I'm there as a participant or as someone facilitating the circle, I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say, like, I have heard myself within all of these shares. I resonate with that. I resonate with that. I've been there before. I'm there right now. And it's a very powerful experience to have. So before we ever meet our first best friend, we meet our first mirror, which is our mom. And if our relationship with our mom wasn't a relationship where she was emotionally available, where maybe she had judgment toward herself, maybe she sacrificed herself, you likely saw that, and that gave you some internalized messages of what it means to be a woman. Even like experiencing what your mom was like in relationships, experiencing whether or not she was outspoken with her partner or partners, that gave you some sort of internalized messaging of what it means to be a woman. And the mother wound is not about blaming our moms. It's about understanding that they also were raised in this soup of patriarchy and capitalism that taught them to suppress their feelings, to overgive, to not have needs, to perform, and to be quote unquote perfect. And when you have all of this at play, it is very difficult to be present. And some women even have such a deep conditioning of that patriarchal thing I talked about earlier, where we see other women as competition. For some women, it is so deep that then they carry that energy of competition into their relationships with their daughters. And then it doesn't create this harmonious kind of relationship where mom is a guide that is leading you through life. It instead creates this relationship dynamic where mom is like this almost like bully. And that is the reality for a lot of women because of this patriarchal and capitalistic conditioning. And maybe your mom also, she could have been someone that didn't model emotional attunement. Maybe she didn't model deep sisterhood or community with other women. Like if you think about what your mom's friendships looked like, especially if you are right now having issues with having that deep friendship, you can look back and see like what were some of the first things I learned about friendships, female friendships from witnessing my mom in friendships. Maybe you saw a lot of drama happening. Maybe you saw that, you know, things would be good for a while, then there'd be this like conflict and then the person would be cut off. What was it that you witnessed in your mom's friends? Maybe your mom did have a long-term friend that ended up being a good friend. And then maybe that friend moved away somewhere and that created some sort of dynamic where there was a lot of grief. It could be so many different things. With this patriarchy and capitalistic piece that we are all growing up in and all have grown up in, and when our moms grew up in that and we see that, we then learn to perform strength, so to pretend that we're okay even when we're not. We learn to stay busy, and we learn to hold our shit together and to never need any help. And when we carry those patterns into adulthood, they don't just affect how we show up in romantic relationships, because they definitely affect that place, but they show up in how we are able to relate with other women. So you might find yourself, like, if any of those things are resonating, you might find yourself avoiding deep female friendships because intimacy feels unsafe. You might find yourself feeling jealous of other women's confidence, ease, or softness. I definitely used to be that. You can find yourself attracting friendships that revolve around fixing or caretaking. Maybe if you are like me in the past, I felt very comfortable having that role of caretaking. Like I shared earlier, I liked to be that mother to my friends, which was not good for me. And what can be scary too, if you are someone who is kind of like in that caretaking role, what can be scary is getting that courage or working up the courage to set the boundaries to not do that anymore. Because most likely the friend that is on the receiving end of that, because they have been, you know, they're around for a reason. They are probably really benefiting from this kind of like toxic or dysfunctional friendship. If you set boundaries with them, they might end up coming to a place where they don't want to be friends with you anymore. And that happened to me. And I was just having coffee with a friend today, and we were talking about how much harder it is to bring up conflict in friendship, and how much harder a friendship breakup can be versus like breaking things off or bringing up conflict with romantic relationships, because it feels so much bigger. It feels like this big, intense break, because friendship isn't usually something we see as like the way we see a dating relationship, where it's like you're dating and then, you know, are you, if you're someone who believes in marriage, like, is this the person that you're going to marry? If not, maybe we should move on. Like, what do you want out of life? Do we want the same things out of life? But with friendship, there isn't that, like, there's no like ceremony of like, oh, we are committed to being friends. Like, there's no like a marriage, quote unquote. And there's no like, I feel like when you make a friend, it's like you are going to be friends with them forever, unless some conflict comes up that you really can't resolve. And I feel like it's not as common maybe to break up with friends than it is to break up with a romantic partner, especially if you're someone who's like searching for that like forever person to build your life with. And I think that's why it feels like such a bigger, more intense and hard thing to even show up for in conversation, like to be the one to initiate that conversation where you are addressing some sort of conflict. Yeah, so maybe you are attracting friendships that revolve around fixing or caretaking, or maybe you are the friend who gives everything and doesn't know how to receive. That again goes into the caretaking role. So the caretaking role can also be very comfortable, because it can feel very scary and unsafe to receive the witnessing from another person. And all of this stuff is the mother wound playing out within sisterhood. And it's the internalized belief that the connection with women equals judgment, equals abandonment, equals pain, equals this is unsafe. But when we become conscious of it, we can choose differently. We can learn to remother ourselves. We can reparent the parts of us that didn't get seen, or the parts of us that didn't get soothed, or maybe even the parts of us that felt like they were smothered and weren't able to fully express themselves. And when we do that, we become capable of safe connection, because we are connecting more deeply with ourselves. And the reality is, we can only deeply connect with other people if we are deeply connecting with ourselves. And I feel like that's a very tricky and difficult thing for women who really desire human connection, who are having a hard time within friendship, is we might not fully realize that we're not deeply connecting with ourselves, especially if you are someone that maybe defines yourself as someone who's very good at self-love and self-care, and without really fully realizing that your self-love and self-care, like the way you are practicing it, is also coming from the conditioning of patriarchy and capitalism. And what I mean by that is that your self-love and self-care looks like, you know, important things. It looks like, you know, the face masks, the bubble baths, the hair treatments, the 20-step skincare routines. Like, there's nothing wrong with all of that. However, are you just doing those things? Are you just doing those things and like ignoring how, ignoring looking at how you speak to yourself? Are you ignoring looking at how you talk about your body? Are you ignoring looking at connecting with your inner child? Are you ignoring the deeper work? Because it's within that deeper work that real, true self-love comes from, because it's very easy to ignore that stuff while we are doing the face masks and the hair treatments and the skin care and all that stuff. It's also very easy to get into that kind of like addiction of checking things off and just like doing the face mask just to do it because we do it every week on Wednesday or whatever it is, and like not even really fully getting the benefits of it. And I think when we ignore those deeper things, it is more difficult to be present and to not get stuck in the doing. Because when we address the deeper things, like how our inner child feels, or all of the things I mentioned before, I don't remember what I said, but when we address those deeper things, I feel like it creates this level of being grounded. Because again, those parts of us from our past that weren't able to be soothed get to be soothed. The parts in our past that weren't able to be seen get to be seen. And instead of having this energy where we are subconsciously like walking around with these unmet needs that have been around since we were children, those needs start to get met by ourselves. And so that energy of like, I need this unmet need, I need someone to fix this for me, when we come back to our own power and realize that we can get these things from ourselves and we can reparent ourselves and meet ourselves in a deeper way, it really changes how we are able to show up in friendship. Because I think one of the things that it does is, instead of focusing on I need other people to do XYZ for me, instead it's like, I'm just going to show up and connect and be real, and we will see what comes out of it. And like, there's a lot more energy there of like, I'm going to show up and be present rather than being focused on what I can get from other people. I hope that makes sense. So the sister wound is basically competing with each other instead of connecting with each other. And the sisterhood wound is what happens when the mother wound meets patriarchy and also capitalism. It's a collective wound between women that says there's not enough love or attention or success to go around. And the sisterhood wound, if you're someone who's a millennial and you grew up on like early 2000s movies, 90s movies, even in 80s movies, I don't know about 70s, I haven't seen a lot of 70s movies, but the sisterhood wound really shows up in the media even. Like, for example, if you think about top of mind example that's coming to me because it's such a cult classic movie from my time as a millennial is Mean Girls. First of all, the title, Mean Girls. And in Mean Girls, you know, it's like there's this clique and it's like you belong to them or you don't. And then they're like fighting over a guy. And it's just like, it really is an illustration of the sister wound. And it's relatable because for a lot of us, that was a part of our experience being in school in America. And whether or not we experienced that, something similar to that movie ourselves, like friends competing over a guy, or whether we saw our friends go through it or our peers go through it, and it exists because of that patriarchal and capitalistic conditioning that makes women compete with each other. And so all of this is like the reason behind why we sometimes will feel triggered when another woman shines. It can even be why some of us can have an aversion to certain artists who really shine and really take up space. I noticed an interesting realization for me that once I worked on my sister wound to a point where I felt like, okay, like I feel like I've made a huge stride the way I noticed it was in my music taste. Like, I could have the capacity to listen to pop music from a point of curiosity of like, let me see if I like this, instead of like labeling pop stars as like, who does she think she is? Like, I don't even really know what I thought about pop stars, really. I only really liked, I feel like I would judge, first of all, I still judge pop in general as a genre. It's not my favorite genre, but it's also not my least favorite. And I noticed that once I got to a point in my sisterhood wound healing journey, I would be like listening to Beyonce, and I like discovered that I really liked her Renaissance album front to back. I don't know if that resonates with anyone, that you can, you know, because you have that space to see a woman really shining and really taking up space, it can expose you to different tastes of music even, or different types of movies even. And it's very important to be able to work on this trigger and to not be triggered when another woman shines, because this directly speaks to your ability to be able to show up and witness someone else in the way that you desire to be witnessed. Because I know that when you shine and you take up space and you celebrate yourself, you don't want the woman on the other end or the women on the other end to be triggered and to like not want to connect with you because of it. Like, you want them to cheer you on. That's why you're here listening to this podcast. So the sisterhood wound is the reason why we downplay our joy and our sensuality and our success so that other women don't feel threatened. It's why we often don't reach out to a woman that we maybe met at a women's circle or at a certain event that we felt very inspired by, even though we want to be her friend, because we are downplaying ourselves. We are making ourselves small. And somewhere deep down inside, the sister wound is whispering things like, she won't like you, she'll betray you, she'll steal your man, you don't belong with women like her, you don't deserve to have a friend like her, she's so much better than you, she's so much prettier than you, blah, 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 all those things. But here is a radical truth. The sisterhood wound is not who you are. The sisterhood wound is who you were taught to be as a survival strategy in a system that profits from women being disconnected from each other. When women are disconnected, they are staying busy proving, performing, consuming, and they're not connected to each other. When they are connected to each other, they're creating, they're coming up with innovative ideas, they're healing, they're rising up together. And so sisterhood and really making space for sisterhood in your life. Oh, I have chills. It's not just personal healing, it's political. Because every time you choose to connect over comparison, every time you choose softness over self-protection, every time you choose collaboration over competition, you are dismantling the systems that taught you to do otherwise. And this is why I think part of our healing journeys cannot be done fully in a vacuum. Part of your healing journey, whether maybe you're in your self-love era right now, maybe you are really deep diving into a certain topic, it is, you know, there definitely is value in doing that work on your own, but there is so much more. I feel like there's so much more progress you can make when you figure out a way to find at least one other woman who is going through the same or similar self-development journey as you are, just in a way where you can regularly check in and connect with each other and share what you're moving through. And then when you are ready, if you are ready to do something like go to a women's circle, I really honestly truly feel like going to a women's circle helps women remember who they are. It really helps dismantle all of those, like I said, like the systems of patriarchy and capitalism that taught us to keep ourselves small, that taught us to present this little perfect version of ourself, that taught us to not fall apart, to not cry, to not be messy. When we show up in women's circles and we have those embodied experiences of it is safe to be like this because I've shown up like this in this safe space and all of these women celebrated me and held me and they were there for me and I didn't get any judgment, the more experiences we have like that, the more it helps us heal any of the experiences we had in our past where showing up in your truth wasn't met with unconditional love. Oh my God. I love this topic. I could talk about this forever. So let's talk a little bit about now, let's pivot into talking about divine feminine. So divine feminine energy is like the little piece that is living underneath all of this. And divine feminine isn't a trend. It isn't a gender norm. It isn't about wearing a flowy dress or doing nothing or lighting candles or laying in the grass all day. It's about reclaiming the parts of you that the world told you to suppress. And those parts of you are your intuition, your sensuality, your emotions, and your cyclical nature. So when you're disconnected from your feminine, you might notice that you're always in your head, analyzing, planning, fixing, controlling. You might really struggle to slow down. You probably feel trapped in your head and disconnected from your body. You might even feel uncomfortable in your own body. You might even be someone that maybe it's really hard to meditate and to sit still and connect because it's uncomfortable being in your body and not being in the head. Maybe you are someone that you try to do things like meditation, but you notice that like your mind is just going a mile a minute and distracting you the whole time. I also want to let you know if that's something that happens, it doesn't mean you're doing meditation wrong. Keep showing up to meditation, even if that is your experience, because that's the point of it, is to notice what's going on internally. And the more you notice what's going on internally without judging it, the more those thoughts can be quieted down. I think it can also help if that's something you're going through. It can help to have like a little notebook next to you to just like write a couple of things down real quick and then go right back to the meditation so that maybe there's a thing in your head that you're like, oh, I don't want to forget this. Just write it down. So reconnecting to our divine feminine means learning how to feel again. I think it's really a journey of going back to that time in our life where we were infants, kind of like in a way, where we were infants and words weren't really a part of our experience yet. And instead, our experience was purely sensational. And it means you are letting pleasure, rest, creativity, and emotion matter more. And when you start to live from that place, you become magnetic because you are more nourished, more well-rested. You start to feel more whole as a person. There are parts of you then that like aren't being ignored, like creativity, emotions, pleasure, and rest. And this is not only true in romantic relationships, but it's true in friendship. And I think with everything I mentioned earlier about like patriarchy and capitalism, I think for a lot of us, patriarchy and capitalism can give us this belief when we're very young that it's maybe better to exist as a boy. And there might be this like rejection of divine feminine, of femininity, of girliness. I know I definitely went through that as a kid as well. Like I remember not wanting to be in ballet and instead wanting to be in jazz because in ballet you wore all pink, but in jazz you wore all black. And I thought wearing all black, like, that's strong. And then it's like the other one, all pink, is like girly. And I was like really rejecting the girly side of me, even though I always was girly. And yeah, this comes from the conditioning from patriarchy and capitalism. I know for me specifically, like I grew up in a family where the religious environment made it so that boys were treated better than women, and the women were kind of seen as this like servant for her husband, and before marriage being like this kind of servant where her dad was in charge of the household, and like being like the servant to help with the household while you were also witnessing your mom being kind of like a servant to dad. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate to that. So divine feminine energy, when you reconnect with that, you are learning how to feel again. You're learning to exist in your body again. And you get to come to this place where you are more magnetic, where you're more radiant. And this is because feminine connection thrives in presence. It thrives in authenticity. And it thrives when we stop trying to impress and start just trying to be with. So being with whatever is true within you, and being with, if you're, you know, like in a conversation with someone or in a women's circle, just being able to be present with what is happening without having any internal dialogue of like, what am I going to say in response to this, or internal dialogue of judging, or internal dialogue of, oh, this reminds me of blah, blah, blah. And then you're like thinking about something else and you're not paying attention. So when we connect with divine feminine energy, I think we are able to heighten our presence, and it kind of becomes this feedback loop, because divine feminine connection is thriving in presence. And so we learn to be more present, and then we're more connected with our divine feminine energy, which creates even more presence within us, which creates even more connection with our divine feminine energy. So it's kind of like this little feedback loop. And yeah, I really truly believe that this kind of work is totally life-changing. And this is basically like the essence of what I do. So if any of this has resonated with you and you do want to work with a one-on-one coach to be able to work on your mother wound, sisterhood wound, maybe you want more connection with other women in your life, or even deeper connection in your romantic relationships, that's what I do. So I will leave a link to my coaching page in the show notes. And if you're looking for a more self-paced way, I do teach a course called Heart Magic. And it's all about coming home to your body through sacred self-touch, sensual self-love. And there's like mindfulness and embodiment in there. And it's all about realizing that you have been worthy this whole time. It's all about reconnecting you to divine feminine energy, your magnetism, and your radiance. Because when you can connect with yourself in that slow, sensual way, you naturally begin to have more presence to be able to bring that witnessing to other people, that witnessing of like being able to listen to other people in the way you want to be listened to. Okay, so let's move on to how healing the sisterhood wound can actually look like in real life. I think a great place, something that could be a great place to start, if you are up for it, is to think back to being a kid at a time where things were still, you know, like rosy and great and innocent and magical, and see if you can notice when the perspective of like everything being perfect and magical or whatever, see if you can notice when that shifted or when that was interrupted. And you might find yourself, most likely, if you're listening to this specific episode about female friendship, you might notice that one of those times where that was interrupted had to do with an interaction you had with your mom. And then from there, you can look at, okay, what belief or what assumption did I then create about other women based on this one instance with my mom. Because most likely you'll notice that assumption that you created from that experience in your past is something you carried with you. It's very normal to carry this with you because, you know, while we are living our childhood, we're just moving forward. Like we don't know as kids, we don't have that self-awareness to like be like, oh, yesterday, this argument with my mom made me have this belief. Like it's a part of life to take certain assumptions and beliefs, to take these things with us forward as we become adults, and to then look back at them only once we are adults. It's totally normal. So do that and get curious about what comes up. What's the belief that you created about women? And maybe you'll notice like, oh, wow, that's not actually true. And I can see how that's been affecting my friendships. Another way you can start to heal the mother wound or the sisterhood wound, actually, is to notice your triggers with other women. So if you witness another woman being beautiful or being at ease or being successful, and if you notice that any of those things trigger you, give yourself a moment to pause. And instead of judging yourself or forcing yourself to be like, let me not be triggered, this is not good, allow it to be okay that you are triggered and get curious about what is it that this woman who's triggering you is reflecting back to you about your own unlived potential. Another one I want to offer you to heal the sisterhood wound. This can be a hard one, but it is practicing both giving and receiving. So if you are always the giver, if you are always the person that is maybe caretaking in your friendships or being the one to be the listening ear, start practicing asking for support. Start practicing asking your friends for what it is that you need. If you're the one who's used to being the one who listens all the time, let yourself be witness to. And if you notice that you are the one who takes up a lot in friendship, who takes up a lot of the conversation, if you've noticed this pattern where a friend is usually the one who's always listening and you're usually the one who always takes up space, I think it would be a good idea to check in with that friend and tell her that you noticed that and ask her how she feels. I feel like that could be very healing for her to hear. And I think another thing that could be helpful is if there's a topic you really want to talk through, see if there's a way you can talk through it on your own. Maybe like you want to speak into a voice note on your phone or journal about it first, so that when you come to your friend, you can really get down to the core of what you want to share. And that way, when you get to the core of what you want to share, there is enough space within the conversation for your friend to also be witnessed. And this emotional reciprocity is where safety grows. It's where we unlearn that any of the assumptions or beliefs we made about women that has kept us from deeply connecting with other women. These friendships have to be, you know, double-sided. They can't be one-sided. We both have to be showing up for each other. We both have to be witnessing each other. We both have to have the opportunity to be witnessed, to be seen, while we are also seeing and witnessing the other. I'm going to share one more thing that can heal the sisterhood wound. And I think this is one of the deepest ways. And this is reclaiming your body. And this is because healing the sister wound isn't just about mindset. It's not just about thinking about what assumption it is that we made when we were kids. Like I told you, it's not just the mindset thing. It's also somatic. It's also this like carried, stored tension and shame and numbness in our body that we literally can't feel safe when we're connecting if we're carrying this tension and shame and numbness in the body. So when you can stop and drop into your breath, really connect with your heart space, the more you can make time for this slowness, the easier it becomes to connect with others. And that's, again, why I have my self-paced program, Heart Magic, which is all about teaching you the art and practice of slowing down with yourself, of connecting with your heart space. I teach you the ancient Taoist tradition of breast massage. And there's so much in there that is all about you healing and being able to grow your capacity to connect with others through the vehicle of connecting more deeply to yourself. So I will link that in the show notes. And today's episode, I love this topic. I think it can be such a long journey to be healing the sister wound, especially if you're really craving friendship and you feel frustrated. I would say just watch out with, it can be an easy trap to get stuck in, like, oh, people in my city are just not open, or like the women who live here are just whatever. Like whatever assumption or belief you are making out of your efforts so far to connect with other women. With love, I want to tell you that the common denominator in these relationships is you. And because the common denominator is you, the only thing that you have full control of that can really only help you in connecting more deeply with other women is in working on the relationship with yourself. It's in moving past the surface level self-love of face masks and bubble baths and skincare routines and going deeper into feeling the emotions that you didn't feel safe to feel as a child. Going deep into what grievances do you wish you can speak out to a caretaker? Like really going into that, the depths of the messiness from your past. And I know if you're listening, you have at least, you know, there are a couple things from your past that you're like, oh, I should work on this. Haven't opened that box yet, but like, I should work on that. This is your gentle invitation to start and dive into that. And dive into it gently and from a place of knowing that it is a journey that is best taken slowly. It's a journey that's best taken in a way where you are taking care of yourself along the way. So notice if maybe it's time to work with a therapist, work with a coach, work with a somatic practitioner. What support is it that you might need at this time? Or is there a friend you can pair up with that might be on this same journey? What can you do today that can take you a little baby step closer to having deeper friendships? Maybe you are already someone that is going to women's circles, and maybe there's a text you can send to someone that you've recently connected with. Maybe there's a phone call you can make to a friend you haven't spoken to in a while. What is that small step you can take? If today's episode resonated with you, I would love for you to share this with someone in your life, sharing this with another woman in your life who might need this reminder. Also, I would love if you can rate and review this podcast. This podcast has been around for a few years, but it recently got renamed to Worthy of Love only in August, which is just a few short months ago. And so we lost all of our old reviews and ratings. So if you can please, on Apple or on Spotify or wherever it is you are listening to the show, leave us a rating and review to help the show be seen and be visible amongst the web of all the like celebrity podcasts and all the other podcasts with these huge, huge audiences. It means a lot to me that you are sharing this little indie podcast if you choose to do so. Thank you so much, and I will see you next week. Bye.